Thank you very much.
Okay.
Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello. Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
First time calling this program. And listening to this program over the years. And listening to the Trinidad lady, the moderator, the female moderator on the other side, at the lunch of the Democratic Labor Party last night. I knew that I could never vote for these people.
All right, we ain't getting into the voting pattern right now.
Yeah, we have so much issues.
What are the issues?
The economy.
What is it that concerns you? What do you want to hear about the economy?
How are we going to fix it? How are we going to get people back to work? Those kinds of things. And all these people is doing is blaming other people. If you run in a business and you have somebody in charge of your business and your business failing, would you look at your business and ask it for account? But these people are not doing that. They keep, for 10 years, them blaming people all the time, the opposition. And then we have some new parties springing up. And them doing the same. Everybody targeting one person. And I don't think them things is right.
You know, what's interesting here, and we'll watch it over the next few days, but you know it's quite possible that they could produce sympathy for the person that they attack. I mean, if this person says to me that they considered the comments uncalled for and excessive, all right? That's what this person says in the WhatsApp message. They consider them excessive. And you know you're dealing with human behavior. You don't know. There are scenarios where the approach that is adopted can sometimes produce a sense of sympathy for the person that you put under the microscope. And we wait and see where it goes. When the people will do their surveys and that sort of thing. Somebody says, hey, what's the difference between what? What's the difference between a person bloodline and the bloodline of an organization? I don't know. The issue fundamentally is on the basis of a person's experiences and their skill, on whom can you depend to try to take the country forward? Now, you have sometimes people who are born into privilege and they seem to have a connection with the people that matter, the concerns of the masses and that sort of thing. And history is replete with those examples. People who have led revolutions and that sort of thing largely come from middle-class background, upper-class background. And they connect. But you can also get people who have not come from that background but become disconnected. Another issue that I think for me, and it has always been something that I suppose mattered to me in watching people in public life, behavior. Behavior matters. And you can find people who come from one class or the other who, in the way that they deport themselves in public, it leaves a lot to be desired. If there's one thing I think that, even here, as we sit in this program, I know that a lot rests on my conduct, my behavior. No, I'm not elected, but I occupy a place here that every day when I come and sit down and talk with and to people, all eyes are upon me and how I deal with matters. And I have to be careful that, notwithstanding all the provocation that I may get from time to time, I have to take it in stride because I am here to set an example as well. And if that is expected of me, isn't it expected of a politician? Irrespective of where that politician comes from. And the people who disappoint us the most sometimes are those who have had a particular experience that we would believe should put them in a position to say, I'm above that kind of conduct. But instead, this country, depending upon which party people support, is encouraging it. And then these same people come back to us. And when the shooting is taking place on the streets, and when people are cutting up themselves with knives and cutlasses, they forget how they carry themselves on the political platform and what kind of example they have set. They see a total distinction between those two, because politics is supposed to carry a morality of its own. I don't accept that. I don't believe that. I never will. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Now, David, this morning I am very, very serious. I put aside partisan politics. I'm dealing strictly with what occurred last night.
Let me judge you, because I know that you can't. I can't see you looking at last night and put aside partisan politics.
Right. No, I can mention what happened last night. Okay, but you told the caller just now that you would expect that from him, I guess, because you think he's a BLP supporter. But let me say this, I voice in as a concerned citizen of Barbados, with a government that a party that trying to project itself as, in other words, seeking another term to control the destiny of the people of Barbados. I am speaking from the depths of my heart, and I do not want you to politicize this, because I know, and you know, I'm a supporter of Barbados Labour Party, but I has to speak very, very honest this morning.
You don't speak honestly all the time?
Well, you could put it how you want to put it.
I assume you did.
But listen to me what I have to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I, David, to be quite honest with you, I am not concerned about the crowds last night at that session, whether they had 100 people or 50,000 persons. David, I do wish they had over 300,000 people last night to hear that sort of disgraceful behavior that was coming from that platform. And I do hope that all the people in Barbados, and indeed the worldwide, were listening and hear exactly what took place on that platform. I think it was most offensive. And I listened to your clips this morning, and I'm very, very disappointed that you did not give me at least a tidbit also of Steve Blackett's speech. He too was indeed offensive.
Don't forget, I remember the box in which I'm operating, which is the equal time box. So to do that, to my mind, would have pushed me over the time which had been allocated to the Barbados Labour Party the day before.
Okay. Now, but I think Steve Blackett, he too was indeed offensive. And I would sum it up to you before you go to my other point, to say to you, that is indeed a sign of desperate people. And you would expect that, and as the campaign goes further, the Democratic Labour Party would get even nastier. I heard also on your clips, David, in Dr. Eswick's speech, I was hearing some little beeps as though you could note something. Why did you not, or could you tell me exactly what he was saying that you had to cut out?
Well, if I had to tell you, then I wouldn't have cut them out. I didn't think that it would have been accepted as being in good taste by members of the public at this stage. I know a lot has changed in the country, but I speak to a number of people who still remain quite conservative in the way that they see these things, and I didn't think it appropriate to leave them in. But the thrust of what he was saying was what was more important. So that's what I went with. But, I mean, there's so many angles to this as well, you know, other angles to it as well. He's a minister of government. He's speaking on important issues in a public place. So whatever he says and however he says it is worthy of putting it in a position for you to hear it as a member of the public, as so many other people did on the spot on the night, and many other people did so online as well.
Okay, now I will close by saying this, though, David. That's why I start my deliberations by telling you I'm very, very serious. I put aside this political thing because of this what happened last night. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to you, David, if indeed someone on the Democratic Labour Party platform could refer to Barbados Labour Party supporters as musty, let me say this to you. And I hope everybody listening that got mothers and fathers, because what I say to you is really, really the truth. I have two friends who support the Democratic Labour Party, and indeed their mother support the Barbados Labour Party. So you know what they were saying to me last night? That lady who has two daughters who support the Democratic Labour Party, their mother is also musty. I thank you, David.
We need to raise the level of the debate, though. I mean, in all fairness, I don't agree with you going there, because two wrongs don't make a right. And from here, I just want you to bear in mind, many people have expressed their concern about it. I am not here to stop more people from putting that on the table, because the Democratic Labour Party has to hear from the people of Barbados in one form or the other how they react to the campaign, as the Barbados Labour Party must also go through that. The Barbados Labour Party put ideas on the table, and people are reacting to those ideas. But let us deal as much as possible with the types of things that you want to hear the political parties addressing. Tomorrow, we hope to have the People's Parliament session, and we're looking at youth-related issues tomorrow. We only have two more of the People's Parliament sessions. The last one will be on the 15th. And, you know, that's the kind of process that we want to engage in. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. This person says the campaign launch with the Democratic Labour Party, in place the Democratic Labour Party, was a disgrace. They just don't want to hear who looks like Madea. What we want to hear is how you will empower the youth with ideas to open their own businesses, since everybody cannot get a desk job. How Barbados can open up businesses longer than 4:30 p.m. Startup of staggered working hours. The ease of doing business on this island. The backlog of court cases. Seminars for young people so that they can learn positive things. This lady says, we want to hear things along this particular line. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi. Now, David,
yes.
If there was any doubt in my mind about the reason why Barbados is in the mess it is in, last night has proven to me the reason why. I was embarrassed as a Barbadian to listen, and not personal attack, to listen to some of the speeches coming from that platform last night. It was very embarrassing. I heard Glenn Murray on this program last week talk about calling names of good orators of the Democratic Labour Party. David, my 15-year-old could carry on better conversations than a lot of those speeches I heard last week. It was very, very embarrassing. Now, if I was someone in the center looking for an alternative other than what I heard last night, right? I would say to myself, you know what? What I heard Saturday night and what I heard last night, there's no comparison. I believe the Democratic Labour Party, and I want to differ from what the lady from Trinidad said earlier, again, or Trinidad and I said, whichever one it is, about
these ministers should be getting into the communities and telling people what they planted, what they did. The Barbies way past that. We already know what they've done for the last 10 years. It's no more secret that it's a waste of time. What they should have done last night is to tell the base there what are their plans for this country in the next 5 years.
Well, they have a bit. I think they would also have a little bit more of a challenge because they have to go beyond saying what they plan to do. Given the difficulties that they faced in implementing a lot of what was required in the last 10 years, they then have to say, what can we expect against that kind of background?
No, but their mantra is that they have a story to tell. Okay? That is their mantra. We have a story to tell.
No, we need
you know what's their story to tell, David?
What is
it?
Is
that the great global recession has played a major part of economic.
No, that's not what they're saying.
David.
That's not what they're saying. They're saying
that. That's what they said of the last 5 or 10 years.
No,
David.
What they're saying now is that people still going to the supermarket. Cars are still driving. The hospital is still open. Barbados is still open for business, notwithstanding the difficulties. That is the message that
David,
I'm hearing from them.
Let me tell you something that I have had to deal with personally, right? I had to deal with a real estate agent a few months ago because I have a property that I rent out. But for all the while I have had my property, I never had issues having it rented out. I went through this real estate agent. We decided to have a conversation. And he said to me, in his 50-plus years of doing real estate in this country, he have never seen so many people losing their houses to foreclosure in Barbados. Right? That is what you didn't need to talk to people about. Not this nonsense about people's personal life. And that is nonsense. I was so embarrassed when I listened to that last day. I had to tune out. And tune back in, and tune back out, and tune back in all the time. I had to do that because some of these speeches were rambling, mumbling, a lot of ridiculous things.
But don't forget, in the midst of all of that, they were encouraged, but quite a lot, by people who stayed and people who thought what they said and how they said it was relevant.
What did you expect, David? Both parties on Saturday and Sunday were playing to their bases. That is expected. That is expected. There's no doubt about that. You are playing to your base. You did not change anybody's mind Saturday night. You did not change anybody's mind last night. Who you need to cater to is the man in the center. And if I was one of the people who was the man in the center, and I had heard what I heard last night, and then I had heard what I heard Saturday night, I would have to make my decision depending on which one I feel better with. But what I heard last night, as far as I'm concerned, I can honestly say, I see the reason why we are in the position that we are in, because this country is being run by a bunch of jokers, and that is the gospel truth. Thank you, David.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon?
I am well.
Oh, you know what you're going to say? You're not going to want to hear, but I got to say it if you allow me to. I sat last week and heard one of your moderators couldn't even call a lady name. And I know that you would bring that moderator back on this program again to run a program, and he can't call me a Motley name. To be honest, that was the most sickening thing that I ever heard. That was the most sickening thing that I ever heard. Any time that you deal with radio or any service, you got ethics. And you
You can't use it. You can't say he doesn't have ethics. I don't think that's appropriate. And you know, you guys, when you come here to talk about other people, be careful. I mean, the yardstick that you must always use in all of this is, if it were said about you, if it isn't true, then how would you feel? That's the yardstick. So if you can't accept it yourself, you shouldn't be saying it of somebody else. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good Sally.
Yes, hello.
I'm going to try to be as concise as possible.
Sure.
But there are two things I want to speak about. The last night meeting one, and another important one is about this gentleman, the lawyer, who is going to sue the bank, Mr. Chester Sue. I had to come like in now with the heat of all the election and things. But what that lawyer is pursuing, I hope that like Mr. Dennis Johnson, I know he's going to come on board with this because he's always talking about the banking and the fees, whatever, and Mr. Corey Lynn. But let me hear some truth because I want to concentrate because you're running for one. Last night, now, you know, I always commend you, Mr. Ellis, and I thought you sort of slip up this morning and not explain it, because I know you've got that capacity.
Explain what?
Give me a chance, sir. Like, last night, it was categorically and clearly explained, the meeting last night was targeting Miss Mia Morley, and that was the theme. It was also indicated, I was at the meeting, that come other nights now, you're going to have a myriad of other topics gone into to explain the economy, you name it. But tonight, our emphasis and interest tonight is strictly to explain Ms. Mia Morley. And that was highlighted and very clearly understood. Now, I don't have to come and defend Mr. Steve Blackett, the minister, social transmission, whatever. I don't have to do that. But what I would want to say is with your caller, tall boy, and ask for, it's to bring a little excerpt of what Mr. Blackett said. And you, Ms. Ellis, you're intelligent. You went to school and you're into journalism. You know about phonetics and that. But metaphors and fricative language. You know about redundancy. You know about English. Nobody could come wrong with that. You should have been able to explain to the person listening. That is fricative language, Mr. Blackett News. That was figurative language, metaphors, and you know metaphors are going to be used throughout this whole campaign. Do not let people talk the political knife and whatever, and the news of political is metaphorical. And you had the responsibility to explain to the people this morning, not to let them be misled that Black is a criminal.
Never said that. No, nobody ever said that he was a criminal, so don't go there.
Not criminal. Let me correct that. Not criminal. That he was both violence and that kind of thing. You, as an expert in English, know you should have said he, Mr. Blackett, was speaking figuratively, folks. So don't go there with that.
I told you I did not hear the piece of Mr. Blackett myself.
But bring it, and okay. Clear the air. That's one. Two. Wednesday night is the invitation is given to come and hear another side of the campaign about this and about that. I mean, it's going to be strategy versus strategy. Don't let persons come and the wrong thing be read into what was said. I'm not going to...
Listen, I don't understand where you're going, because let me say this to you. The people who have reacted knew full well the context in which that meeting took place last night, and they know how many people spoke to the issue. I think that's what they're concerned about. They're talking about overkill. They're talking about the fact that it is difficult to understand how you could organize a meeting where speaker after speaker would go after an individual like that, notwithstanding the fact that there are valid issues to be explained by that person. This, what you're getting here is a sense of overkill. So that is matched against your position, which is there's nothing wrong with what was done. It was explained, and there will be ample time to talk about the other things. So we've had the two perspectives, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. I'm on.
Yes, you are.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
No, I see that you played some clips there and seemed to bring some discussion. But you know that I just like to bring a little balance to it. Now, the clip that you brought is one that a fellow seemed to misunderstood. And that is the one with the cutting the throat from ear to ear. Right? The cutting the throat from ear to ear was just like when we said stabbing the person in their bank. It was done by the people on her side and not by her opponents. So it was an inside job. So to come now to think that people planning to cause disturbance.
So he was reflecting, your point is that it was reflecting on how she was treated by her
she
own
was
people
treated
politically.
By her own people politically.
Basically.
So I don't know if anybody listened to the whole thing or only pick up part.
Okay.
But it was not one against the other.
Okay.
It was an internal thing. Whereby I would not have said it that way myself. I always say that they stab her in her back and they're going back next time to stab she and she got. That's why they say. Another one, a young
lady. Well, you know, that was at variance with the comments which were made by the Prime Minister, who basically spent a considerable amount of time talking about a mouse without balls. And when we talk about a mouse without balls, he used the imagery of a computer mouse, but then basically, I suppose he used the pun of a mouse. And he said that these people who had not supported Ms. Motley otherwise had now come in this campaign to, well, gather around her. And as far as he was concerned, they were mice without balls. Now, you and I know full well that you, Julie, when we talk about more than one mouse on the computer, I don't think we call them mice. So,
well, there you go, Mr. Ellis. That is up to interpretation. So we can leave that there. Why was speaking about the young lady? I think she says she's 24. So I don't know if she now was experiencing she first election campaign or whatever. Or at least she said she'd drive by. I would invite her next time just to stop and listen, you know, because a little snippet could mislead you.
Yeah, right.
But she was saying that somebody say that Miss Motley is currently 52.
You basically...
Wait a minute, Miss Ellis.
Yeah.
And she figured that they was attacking her because of her age.
She said but she didn't know what the age had to do with it at all.
Right, but it was not about that. That's what I'm trying to show you here again, because you only hear that a little bit. They was making the point that in putting up a poster or some photo to shoot their date, they took a 39-year-old Miss Motley and put up to represent a 52-year-old. That's what the analogy was. It wasn't nothing about ability to do anything. So there again, you got to be able to balance it out. So what I would like you to do, find those two clips and play them. The one with the cut in the throat from ear to ear, so they would see that it was not external, it was internal, next to a mutiny. And the one with the age, which she just said that you take up a 39-year-old to
breakfast. I think the issue of the ear to ear is perhaps the more significant one. So we'll see what we can do for you on that particular point there. This is down to Brass Tacks. Let's take another call.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hello.
Right. Mr. Ellis, over the weekend they had two significant major meetings. So the weekend was packed. I am amazed that this morning when we are discussing the meetings, the focus is on the Democratic Labour Party, when the Barbados Labour Party had hours of presentation of important things like the changing of the money for the non-contributory pension. They talk about the sewage, and a whole lot of things were mentioned, but yet still, the focus is definitely on the Democratic Labour Party.
Why do you think that is so?
Well, this is it. I think that they definitely have made some inroads into the Barbados Labour Party, because the Barbados Labour Party was well assured that the election was theirs. Now, this slew of BLP callers this morning are all focused, and they're more attentive to the Democratic Labour Party meeting than the Barbados Labour Party. And with a lot of crocodile tears, you're talking about inappropriate comments made in the House of Assembly, Mr. Ellis. You would recall that none other than an experienced woman like Billy Miller referred to Clyde Maskell as mallet without having him faced with mallet without teeth. You remember that the guy who built the roads, James Paul, his friend, had talked about Mr. Maskell's mother in the House of Assembly. When the Democrat Labour Party said that conduct was inappropriate, the same tall boy and all that said that's just politics. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But today I am hearing how embarrassed they are. What are you embarrassed about? You're bothered about the fact that the Democrat Labour Party launched that program last night with precision.
And you thought and it was, and you have, you don't think that they made any error in the way that they handled this matter?
It was too well done, Mr. Ellis.
It was very well done. So you...
Let me tell you, you see this young lady that called and said she's 24 hours driving past?
Uh-huh.
She said, you look, she had some issues here. She thought they would talk about sewage. She thought they would talk about tourism. She thought they would talk about economy. Mr. Ellis, you heard some of it. You know for yourself, sewage was well explained. Tourism, what about fixing tourism? The tourism records now are the best ever had over the last 30 years. What about it to fix? This younger lady don't seem to be that very much informed, because otherwise she wouldn't say fix tourism. You could say fix the sewage. And even if you understood what was explained about the sewage, and I hope that Barbadians will listen to what really is wrong with the sewage, because we know from last night, from the document that was read, the Barbados Labour Party was advised not to put that sewage there, because that thing there, because it would collapse in time. And this advice was given by Sir Henry Ford in 1994. The document was produced to show it, but they still went ahead and built it. And now they want to come back and do things like this. Now,
but of course, you know, you can be highly selective in which documents you put before the public, because we are not privy to the arguments which were also presented in 94 as to why it should be placed at that depth and structured in that particular way. In any case, you know, if you inherit something that is defective,
right,
your first order of business is to put it right.
Didn't know it was defective. You couldn't know until it collapsed like this, how it
so held. You really so that's the only time. So your argument is that the only time you could do research to establish what you had inherited is when something went wrong.
There's so much problems going on in Barbados, you will look at your more immediate problems first.
But that's what you got staff for. That's why you got staff to get a status report on all the things that you inherit. Where are you going with that?
After the billet, they should have had the staff checking into it. Staff in no.
Listen, let me. I do not buy into your argument that because you have inherited something that is defective, you do not have a responsibility to check into it to make sure that all is well and to establish to what extent. You have to be involved in the maintenance of it and rectifying what might have gone wrong.
Let me just say one thing.
So I don't buy that.
I know the time up. No, let me just make this one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these people talking about being embarrassed about the meeting last night.
Yeah.
The people sure that they endorse what was being said by the cheers and the laughter and the move. And you know how you can prove it? If this was so embarrassing to the people of Barbados, then nobody shouldn't turn up. And in the future meetings, then nobody shouldn't turn up. I expect that the crowd can only grow larger, because I know Barbados are a lot of curious people, and they like what they are hearing.
Yeah, let's wait and see.
Just about Mark Williams asking some questions. This is some of the questions I would like you to ask. Why the...
This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Now, we've got but a few minutes, and I know there has been a lot of talk about the meeting which the Democratic Labour Party held last night. But in the closing stages of this program, I think I owe it to Barbados if I get the opportunity to do something a little different to do it. Now, we've introduced to you before an economist, a Barbadian who lives in Canada, and he is available to comment on this whole question of the promises which have been made by the opposition Barbados Labour Party coming out of their meeting night before last, and the explanation which we've heard from opposition leader Mia Motley as to where she's going to get the money from. We've had last night Finance Minister Chris Sinclair outline the kind of additional burden which the Barbados Labour Party policies would impose on the country in light of its current economic difficulties. And Ms. Motley, speaking last night as well, suggested that it was going to be through debt refinancing. Carlos Fort is on the line. Mr. Fort, good afternoon.
I'm here. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Okay.
Good afternoon to the people of Barbados.
Fine. Explain for us, therefore, given where we are right now, the idea of debt refinancing, which is not new, it's been floated also by the Democratic Labour Party in the last 5 years. Talk to us, therefore, about how you see what's proposed and what is possible. Now, I'm going to ask you to do that not only in relation to the BLP today, but when the Democratic Labour Party comes out with its own ideas and plans, I'll come back to you for a similar assessment, all right?
Most definitely, I would be quite willing to do so.
It would be most appreciated.
I would remind the nation that in the budget last year, the government did, in fact, put, a debt refinancing on the table. However, it was pretty narrowly focused on a component of debt held with the National Insurance Scheme. We've not heard anything further on that. The point is, though, is that debt refinancing has to be part of the solution to the economic challenges that are facing Barbados. I don't see any way out of the current predicament without that being one of the components, a very important component, of resolving the government's fiscal financial situation in particular. I was very pleased to hear that the Barbados Labour Party has committed to debt refinancing, even though it wasn't said directly. That is, in essence, what Ms. Motley was referring to. I said pleased because I did listen to both campaign launches over the weekend, and I was quite disappointed that neither party at the time had made contact with the challenges that are confronting Barbados economically and the attendant social dislocation that stems from those. That if political parties are going to be of some credible service to the people of Barbados in the midst of an election, that they have to lay out plans and programs that can get us out of the economic doldrums that we are in, echoed by the most recent central bank report, which was a very damning report. The one bright spark there was that the foreign reserves did not decline. To explain debt refinancing, there would be some implications. There are always some adverse effects with respect to any policies. But I believe firmly here that the benefits would outweigh the costs. Why there would be adverse effects is because investors who hold Barbados' debt currently would face the prospect of getting a lower return than what they would have entered into agreement to receive. Or there's also the prospect of not just receiving a lower interest on the investment in the form of loans to the government or bonds, but also there's the prospect of the principal being cut. Of course, the Barbados Labour Party has not yet outlined the scope of a debt refinancing program, but the implications for that, certainly because a significant amount of the debt is held by the NAS, it would affect the planned returns of the fund, and therefore we would have to consider for the long-term viability of the National Insurance Fund what we would have to do with respect to the prospect of increasing contributory rates in the near term, or increasing the retirement age or things of that nature.
So those are implications that people should be aware of, and these are questions that we need to put to the Barbados Labour Party.
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
These, I was suggesting to you that you've captured here issues that are of relevance. People should be aware of these particular questions, and the Barbados Labour Party.
Yes, and
to
these are very serious issues, and that is why it is incumbent on all of the parties, and the major parties in particular, to have a honest, candid debate on these very serious issues, what it is that they intend to do to solve the economic challenges that the country has been enduring for almost a decade now. The Barbados Labour Party, they speak of a lost decade. I do agree with that economically. But what is it that they're going to do to address these very serious challenges, recognizing that they cannot be solved in a year or within 6 months? At best, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 years. I would have spoken or written about some of the solutions, specific solutions. Like them, debt refinancing ought to be one, of course, privatization, and that would be part of the program or part of a program to reduce the level of transfers and subsidies that are currently going to statutory corporations. And that could entail restructuring some of those, privatizing others, and dissolving some of them. Again, the government has announced this or committed to this in the budget as far back as 2013, but nothing substantial has been done.
Yeah, because the government has said that if it does that, then it will throw people out of work. And this has been the linchpin of the government's argument as to why it has done nothing. And the question is,
we can use
Go ahead.
We can use a medical analogy where if someone is diagnosed with a pretty serious illness, maybe not terminal, but a pretty serious illness, and that they may be require some form of medication that may have some adverse effects in the short term, but is likely to restore them to good health. You can make a decision to forego that treatment and have a situation where essentially you die slowly. And that is the scenario that you face. It's either that the government or any government is going to contemplate those very serious options, with some implications, so that we can have some constructive pain in the near term with a realization of stabilization to the Barbados economy and then growth, whilst creating the environment that makes it conducive to attracting investment in the near to medium term, and I speak of both local and foreign direct investment, or you put yourself in a situation where you are forced to do these things.
But what I want to bring
would have to be more severe.
What I want to bring you to more directly, though, I want to bring you more directly to what the Barbados Labour Party has put on the table, which is being scoffed at by the opposition that says, "Look, we are already in a deep hole here, or in some difficulty." They wouldn't describe it as a deep hole. That'd be political suicide, I suppose.
Yes, I think that is one of the so far that's one of the challenges. We're still early in this thing, and I would give both parties the benefit of the doubt and have the expectation that we would begin to hear more of their plans on the economy. But so far, the BLP has committed to a lot of new spending. And the challenge with that is we already have a significant deficit. The government's government as an institution, its finances are not in very good shape right now. And the solutions, for example, if you want to use debt financing, refinancing as an example, yes, that is one of the solutions to help us reduce the deficit. But how is that going to reduce the deficit and at the same time finance the magnitude of new spending that the Barbados Labour Party has committed to? No, of course I'm not daft to politics, and you can assume that maybe these new spending commitments would not be implemented in the near future, and that they could even very well be implemented in a potential second term. But the trouble is here is that the BLP has specifically indicated that some of these new commitments would take place
immediately. Immediately.
I think that's one of the challenges or one of the issues that the economists of which Ms. Motley spoke, that is on their team, would have to explain to
precisely.
The public.
Precisely. And of course, there's no free lunch. You can't get something for nothing. So what are the programs and stuff that would have to be touched as you try to deal with critical issues, for instance, transportation, the problems that we are facing with garbage and that sort of thing?
Most definitely, and it is exactly that I want Barbadians to understand. This election, given the place where the country is in right now, both economically and socially, there is going to be some form of austerity that would continue in the next 2 to 3 years.
You need more austerity.
What we essentially want is what I would call constructive austerity.
Okay.
Not
That's
the
correct.
Form that we have been experiencing in the past couple of years. But we want to see the problems being attended to so that the
Well, I think we might have lost Carlos Ford there. We may be coming back shortly. But let me tell you that we've committed to work with the Barbados Economic Society in mounting something on Thursday coming that you need to know about. It is particularly relevant to this discussion. The Barbados Economic Society, in conjunction with the CFA Society of Barbados, we'll be hosting a national debate on the Barbadian economy entitled Plans for Economic Adjustment Post-General Elections. That debate will take place on May the 10th in the Frangipani Room, the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center, 2 Mile Hill, St. Michael, and will start at 7 p.m. sharp. The national debate will act as a medium through which the various political parties contesting the upcoming general elections on May 24th in Barbados can discuss their plans and objectives for macroeconomic adjustment. The session will include a series of discussions centered around the following themes. 1. Reversing the downward trend in foreign exchange reserves. 2. Utilizing economic policies to accelerate economic growth. And 3, exploring alternative industries for economic growth. And 4, reducing the fiscal gap. So note this particular discussion. Plans for economic adjustment post-general elections taking place this coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock, at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center in the Frangipani Room, sponsored by the Barbados Economic Society and the CFA Society in Barbados. Well, that's where we're going to wrap up this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I want to thank you all for participating, and thanks to Dennis Johnson, who functioned as both producer and technical operator today. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.